Throughout weeks of debate on what constitutes an impeachable offense, Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee have focused primarily on the charge of perjury. They say evidence gathered by independent counsel Kenneth Starr shows President Clinton lied under oath during the Paula Jones sexual harassment civil case and again before the grand jury investigating the Monica Lewinsky matter.
Lying poisons justice. If we are to defend justice and the rule of law, lying must have consequences. We will explore the impact of lying on the rule of law and the implications of the double standard from our distinguished panel, whom I am pleased to welcome.
This morning, Committee Chairman Henry Hyde called as witnesses a diverse panel, ranging from experienced judges and respected legal scholars to two women actually convicted on federal charges of perjury.
Thank God I could finally say I'm guilty.
First to speak was Pam Parsons, a former college basketball coach who in 1984 pleaded guilty to charges she lied during a civil case about a sexual relationship.
The legal system was very kind to me. The judge didn't want to send me to jail. The reduction to 4 months was a blessing. I picked up cigarette butts for 4 months in Lexington, Kentucky. But I did it every day with a smile on my face to pay back humanity for my ignorance and the seriousness about the law. I served 5 years probation, and in 1990 I was released. That's a long time to still be talking about your past. And here it is, 1998, and I'm with you, and I can almost not cry anymore.
Barbara Battaglino, a doctor of osteopathic medicine and a psychiatrist with a law degree, pleaded guilty this year to charges she, too, lied under oath about a sexual relationship.
Understanding that I would be subjecting myself to unwarranted civil exposure if I told the truth, I justified in my own mind that this deception was warranted in order to protect my personal and professional self-interest. In an attempt to save myself and my family any further embarrassment and or financial loss, I agreed to accept a negotiated disposition of the criminal case.
Dr. Battaglino, currently serving a sentence of 6 months home detention, was given court permission to appear at today's hearing.
My sentence will not end on February 27, 1999, when the electronic monitoring device is removed from my ankle, nor will it end on July 19th, 1999, when my formal probationary period is completed. In a very real sense, I am condemned to a life sentence. I have lost my professional standing, my life as it had been, and my cherished privacy. These consequences are irrevocable.
Members of the committee took turns questioning the witness, and several members attempted to solicit answers favorable to their own previously stated positions.
Dr. Battaglino, what is your thought about the double standard we might be creating if we conclude the president committed perjury and we don't impeach him with respect to people such as yourself who are convicted and sent to jail or put in house arrest for perjury regarding consensual sex in the federal system? What is this fair?
I believe that we as a people, as a country, must not give the impression to our citizens, to our young people, to the world, that we are indeed a country that does not take seriously the rule of law and liberty and justice for all.
At the time that you might have said an untruth, were you avoiding embarrassment? Were you avoiding hurt to your family members or to yourself or to your setting? Ms. Parsons, not now today, but when it happened, were you embarrassed about what you were charged or asked to answer the question on?
No.
You were not embarrassed?
No. What I was manipulating my way around who wouldn't understand what I was doing.
And what a tragedy that a private matter like that had to be considered where you had to manipulate. Dr. Battaglino?
I think...
Exactly right.
I think, Ms. Jackson-Lee, as I mentioned in my statement, that yes, that was certainly one of the thoughts and feelings that had crossed my mind, that I was indeed embarrassed and that I was making an attempt to justify that because I was embarrassed and because it was something of a personal nature that adjudicated my not telling the truth. But that was wrong, and I knew that it was wrong at the time.
I have no questions for the individuals. I have questions for the committee on why we are sitting here when we do actually have some judges waiting in the audience who may actually have points of law to share with us, and I would yield back the balance of my time.
I can give you some reasons why we're sitting here. We're exploring the double standard. We're exploring whether there's one rule of law for the powerful, for the rulers, and another one for the ruled.
One witness on the afternoon panel, retired Federal Appeals Court Judge Leon Higginbotham, said there is indeed a double standard regarding the president.
The two ladies who testified today, I respect them as decent human beings who, like all of us, or maybe like me, have frailties, who may not have had the level of perfection which some of you have. So they had frailties, and they were sentenced. But what is the relevance? You cannot equate the presidency of the United States with the basketball coach from South Carolina.
Five of the nine afternoon witnesses were invited to testify by committee Democrats, and all said they opposed impeachment.
The appropriate response to the allegations against the president lies not in impeachment or in removal from an office, but in congressional censure combined with the possibility of criminal prosecution or civil sanctions after the president leaves office.
Nothing in the Constitution suggests that when a president engages in conduct that is reprehensible but not impeachable, Congress must be silent. Any resolution passed by both houses of Congress would be placed before the president. Placing such a resolution before him would enable him to act with honor by signing it, or to veto it and face the condemnation of the American people.
One of the Republican invitees, Appeals Court Judge Charles Wiggins, said he too opposed impeachment.
When you are called upon, as I think you will be, called upon to vote as a member of the House of Representatives, your standard should be the public interest. And I confess to you that I would recommend that you not vote to impeach the president.
The committee today also voted to expand its impeachment inquiry to include allegations of fundraising abuses by the president during his 1996 campaign. The party line vote approved subpoenas for internal Justice Department memorandums in which FBI Director Louis Freeh and Charles LaBella, head of the Justice Department's Campaign Finance Task Force, both urged Attorney General Janet Reno to appoint an independent counsel to investigate. Chairman Hyde said he still expected to wrap up the committee's inquiry before the end of the year.